Now tonight I'm going to preach on the subject, what is behind all this hatred? What is behind all this hatred? And I want you to turn with me, if you will please, to the Gospel according to John, the third chapter. And in the third chapter of the Gospel, you have a section here which indeed expresses what we're going to deal with tonight. Verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." We hear about the darkness of the world about us, and we know it's wicked. But when you come into a place like this tonight where we're all singing about Calvary and we're praising God and the gospel's here and it's so clean, it's so refreshing, it's so full of life and blessing to our souls. And out around us in the darkness of the world tonight, there's all manner of filth and sin and iniquity and blasphemy and adulteries and all sorts of the lowest possible things going on. We know it. But too many of us never have direct contact with it. You don't have an opportunity to act. You see it, you read in the papers of these murders and these rapes and these robberies and the crimes going up. And of course, the women are afraid to go out at nights, and that sort of thing is developing around us. We feel it. But last week on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, this whole lid came off here in the Philadelphia area when Ms. McIntyre and I went over there together with Dr. Richter to see if we couldn't raise this money to save the radio station. And everybody knows that there's been strong opposition to it, but the opposition really opened itself up and came right out into the open where everybody could hear its voice and look down the throats and see what was being said. I never had an experience like it. I've never been called so many bad names at one time in my life. I've been called names, of course, but usually there's a gap between the period. You don't get it all just put on top of you at once. And my wife has been terribly abused, and it's utterly a disgrace that respectable, decent people who obey the law and live decent lives have to go through that sort of treatment. But that's a part of it. And you might as well recognize that that's the part of it, if you're really going to be a worker and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. And my feeling now is we got too many people who claim to be Christians who spend their time running away from these things instead of standing up to them. And the Bible says you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And in this passage which we read this morning, it says don't you give place to the devil. Don't you move out and let him take over. Don't you give place to the devil. And here are the forces of darkness and the powers of hell on this earth that are operating. And here are the powers of light and the gospel with its message that breaks down the barriers and gives life eternal. And that struggle is here, and it is the struggle and the conflict of the ages. It's the conflict of Satan and Christ. You saw it in Cain and Abel. And the same conflict and the same issues, the same struggle that was there in the days of Cain and Abel are here today, and it will continue to be until the Lord returns from heaven and takes the curse off nature. And then we can have peace. But at the present time, those of us who have come to know the Lord, we are in this present evil age. Those of us who know that Christ died for us, and we know he opened the tomb, and he's given us a resurrection, and we have the assurance that we're going to spend eternity with him. Oh, the victory and the joy and the light and the power and the glory being a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's who we are, and that's where we stand. When we went over there and explained to the public that the economic boycott against the station had been maintained and had been mounted against the station, and these people who were doing it openly said they were going to do it. And we all knew that we had the opposition of these large liberal elements, whom Time magazine said represented a liberal intolerance, that didn't even want the station to be transferred to Faith Seminary. You all know that the Roman Catholic official publication in this area has called on the FCC to cancel the license. We all know that these forces are against us, and yet when we got there and began to take this collection, I felt and I saw this rising tide of opposition began to manifest itself against even the taking of an offering from the Lord's people that the radio station might be delivered. And of course, this is what is about it, and I want to get into the heart of it now with at least three things for you tonight. The first thing that I want you people to see before I develop these three points is that the struggle in our area is joined. It's joined. And it was joined on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and it'll be joined again tomorrow afternoon. The struggle is joined. The next thing that I want to say to you, that this struggle, which is now joined, concerns everybody that loves the Lord and everybody that loves their liberty. It's commanding, it's demanding. As a matter of fact, the way the thing the Lord has set it up, the Lord did this. I didn't do it. The Lord set this thing up. Everybody in all these churches, and I tell you, we have undoubtedly the largest listening audience in these afternoon's exposures that I'm sure we have ever had in this area. And it is now bringing out into the open a condition which every single citizen of this country, and then those of us who are Christian believers, must face up to. You can't ignore it. You can't brush it aside. You can't say it doesn't concern us. It does concern us. And when Ms. McIntyre and I go there and sit at these microphones and come into first-hand grips and conflict with these powers that are assaulting us and calling us these names and using this filthy language and using the tactics of deceit and fraud and violating the law as they're doing, everybody everywhere must recognize that we've gotten into a den of iniquity. We've gotten into a great cesspool here of awful wickedness, and that's exactly what it is. And it's just coming out in opposition and in this manifestation of hatred. Now, I believe this is going to be overruled by God in our area. I believe it's going to be overruled for good. We've taken this accusation. As a matter of fact, that was one of the things that was said to me. You blankety-blank hate monger. Well, that's what they said. And then they said something else. We're full of hate. And I've been called a hate monger and all this sort of thing just long enough. And now the hatred that's really manifesting itself in this antagonism, in this opposition, is right out where everybody can see it. And it's just plain, unadulterated hatred coming out of a deep-seated attitude which prevails. And only God can change it. Only the power of God can change it. And beloved, if God doesn't intervene and God's power isn't manifest, this country's going down in a terrible, terrible ordeal of some judgment and disaster. Only God's going to deliver us. And I come to the place where you see it and you feel it, and it throws you back on the gospel. It throws you back in the arms of power. It throws you back into the grace of God. And you have such a sense of security and peace in dealing with these forces and in coming to grips with these powers. Just imagine them calling up, and a little girl answers the phone or opens the phone and says, "Dr. McIntyre, yes, can I give a dollar? I'd like to give a dollar," just the sweetest little voice of a child. And I say, "Yes, we'll be happy to have your dollar." And then just as soon as she says it, "Ha, ha, 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 ha," wasn't a child's voice at all. It was some adult's voice. And they took a little child as a decoy, a little child to use time on radio, anything to delay, anything to keep your telephone calls from coming through, anything to keep you people from getting through with your pledges. And hundreds of people have told me, they've come from every hand telling us, "We can't get through, we can't get through, we can't get through." And that's what they're trying to do. But to use a precious little child with a sweet little voice. Dr. McIntyre, may I give a dollar? And I say, yes, we'd be happy to have you a dollar. And then, ha, 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 hang up the phone. Lady calls up and says, I'm dying with cancer and I need help. Can't you give me some spiritual advice? And then she talks and I say, well, you call back later. And then she gets Ms. McIntyre. Next time Ms. McIntyre says, call back at 6 o'clock and we'll be glad to help you. 6 o'clock comes and nobody telephones. Nobody telephones. All these ruses and all these schemes and all these devices to occupy that radio, to take that time so that people can't get through. And what's behind all this opposition? And then they'd come through with a nice voice. How do you do? I'd like to give $300. I said, well, what's your address, sir? Well, he says, I'm Walter Reuther. I'd like to give so much money. I'm Martin Luther King. And I'd like to help you $50. I told you this morning that Gus Hall gave us $50. I was glad to know that Gus Hall was even listening to me. It's the most amazing thing, the way they come with all these names. And what interested me about all this, they seem to know the right names to use. They've got this situation sized up pretty well, and they seem to have the right catalog of names to use in a situation like this, to delay, to harass, to embarrass. And then they come along with Cecil Moore. Cecil Moore made a contribution every afternoon. He really did. He was always in there. And the last afternoon of all the things, Joshua Eilberg came along. And he was in there with a nice contribution. But what's the purpose of it? Delay, delay. But to use the names of other leaders in our area in vain. Somebody came along and represented themselves as Senator Clark, and they made a $1,000 contribution. To take the name of a United States senator in vain and to use that sort of strategy publicly in this type of abuse and ridicule and scoffing at what we're trying to do to take a collection to save a radio station from being destroyed because of the economic boycott. Does it affect us? Yes, it affects us. It makes us stronger. It makes us love the Lord. It brings me into my pulpit tonight to tell you people what's going on. And gospel preaching that doesn't deal with current vital issues is just water thrown over some duck's back. Let's preach the gospel and make it applicable to the conditions and the circumstances which we're facing as men and women who are witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the most amazing thing. These last few months, I've had no trouble talking about things on Sunday night. State of Pennsylvania, Resolution 160, and the Roman Catholic paper and their editorial. Beloved, let's take the issues that we face in the light of the Word of God and bring them home to you people so you will understand what your duty is before God as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be Christians, let's bear the reproaches that are necessary in our day to stand up for the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, the filth, the name, the things that they've said. Oh, let's turn to that text again. Dr. Richter gave us this. Turn to Romans, the third chapter, will you please? This third chapter of Romans that describes the iniquity that's in this old world and what sin has done in ruining man and his depravity. Notice verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Speaking of the Jews being better than the Gentiles. No, in no wise. Romans 3, verse 9. For we have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. My, oh my, if men would just believe that and then find the Savior who can give them grace, we'd have something. But we've all got the idea that everybody's got some good in them. And if we'll just all trust the United Nations, somehow we'll get world peace. Now, verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Do you know what a sepulcher is? That's the old kind of language. You know what a sepulcher is? Well, it isn't a pot that sits on the stove. No, a sepulcher is a tomb, it's a grave, and it's open. And it has in it the corrupting, decomposing flesh that's there. And if there's anything that is rotten, if there's anything of all nature that offends and recoils, it's a dead body after 6 or 8 days. You can't stand it. It's an open sepulcher. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Dr. Richter gave me the 13th verse after the broadcast of the day. Their throat is an open sepulcher. He was, take down the telephone, folks, and just look down their throat. That's what you get. Just look right down through it. Their tongue has all this poison in it. It's the poison of asp. And they are using deceit. Deceit is their weapon. Fraud is their armor. And this program which they have mounted is to destroy a radio station by hindering a collection. All right, I want to point out to you tonight three things which are behind all this. The first is, there is a hatred of light. That's the first thing that we must mention. Turn now to this passage in the 3rd chapter of the Gospel according to John. What are they trying to do? To turn off a radio station in our area, to destroy it. So that the messages and the programs that go out over this radio station will not be heard in this immediate area. That's their open professed, that's what they're trying to do. Their boycott is to that end. These appeals to the FCC that have been made by these various groups is to the end that the FCC will step in and take this station away from Faith Theological Seminary. And what these gentlemen have all forgotten about is that they don't understand how Dr. McIntyre and the seminary and the rest of us trust in God and believe that God will help us. And I'm sure they had no idea that one of these days, all of a sudden, Dr. McIntyre would appear on the station and ask for $50,000. Especially after we've just had $178,000 raised here in our own church. The last time in the world for me to go out and ask for money is after I've already gotten every bit you have. You see, and for me to appear on that station on an afternoon with Mrs. McIntyre and begin to launch a drive to raise $50,000 to pay the mortgage payments on that station with an appeal to God to make it possible, raised immediately in the minds of all this particular element that is so obviously against us, how can we stop it? How can we now stop this? And the last opportunity they had to stop it was to try to hinder the collection. Stop the collection. Or build the collection up and make it a phony collection so that when it actually does come in, McIntyre will think he has $50,000, he's only got $25,000. Some way or other, come into this thing. And beloved, for them to go into the public, for these forces to be willing to come out into the public and make this spectacle of lying, this spectacle of deceit, this fraud of using other men's names, for them to be willing to do a thing like this indicates how desperate they are at the present moment. All right, this passage in the 3rd chapter of the Gospel according to John is given to us by our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And will you read verse 18 and 19 and look at it in your Bible? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth what? Hateth what? The light. And WXUR has been turning on light. It's been giving light. It's been carrying the message of the gospel. It's been carrying programs that defend freedom. And here we have a statement from our Lord, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in whom? God." And beloved, at this point, I want to lay before you people who are listening to Carl McIntyre the most basic, fundamental principle of freedom that the Bible gives us. And that is that the Christians love light. The Christians want light. The Christians aren't ashamed to hear anything that may be brought along. And the blessing of liberty is that we're free to obtain the light. And the curse of tyranny is that we're confined to darkness. And at this point, these forces that are manifesting this bitterness and this hatred and this venom which spews out and which insults my wife, and which is attacking me is the accusations that they've made. At this time, I have all the evidence I need that this hatred is coming out of a hatred of light. What is it that these gentlemen are saying? Why, they're saying we lack the social and public responsibility to operate a radio station. That's what they're saying about me. And what's the purpose of this sort of an accusation? So that the views, the positions, these things cannot be heard in our immediate area. And the difficulty is, beloved, and I'm sure that these gentlemen, many of them know it, they are afraid that if the position which Carl McIntyre represents, if the position which the International Council of Christian Churches is championing throughout the Christian world, if the position that Faith Theological Seminary is promoting through its teaching and its indoctrinating of these young men in the truths of the gospel, if that position is able to be heard and can be advanced by the proper and lawful means of a free society, then this great program which these liberals are working for will be hindered. It will be restrained. It might even be defeated. And so at the present time, this light, this position must be shut out so the people in the Philadelphia area will not be able to get this kind of information and this kind of preaching and this kind of documentation. Now may I say to these fundamental preachers around this area, there are radio stations that will carry your programs if you'll just keep quiet on the issues. There are radio stations that will get you up, and you can preach the comforts of the Bible from now to doomsday, and they won't object to it. But it's when you come with the truth of the Word, with righteousness, and you deal with sin, and you deal with these thrusts and these drives for power, in order to move in and take over and determine the structure and the reordering of our social society. When you come into this area with the sword of the Spirit, it's sharp, it cuts, it drives, and it's in that area that the light is manifest. And it's putting out of this light that this hatred is an expression of. That's number one. All right, now let's turn some other passages in the Bible that give us a little bit more light on this subject. Will you turn with me to the 15th chapter of John? And in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gives us a very long dissertation, beginning with the 19th verse. And my second point this evening is that behind this hatred is this awful hatred of the Christian and his position as a witness in this world. Verse 19. Now please get your Bibles and follow this whole section here. I'll begin with verse 17. "These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world doth what? Hateth you." The world hateth you. Who said it? Jesus. Remember the word that I said unto you, verse 20, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep your saying. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And then you move on down to verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Let me read verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Now they have no cloak for their sin. This is the light. This is the law. This is the Son. Here he stands. And when he comes, there's no cloak for your sin. There's nothing left where you can cover it up. It's unmasked. It's under the judgments of God. And you shall die and pay the penalty for it. Verse 24. And then he moves to verse 25. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Beloved, the hatred and the awful spewing out of these accusations. Pick up a telephone and here it comes, the next one and here it comes. And then you folks would come in between with your nice voices and your pledges of $200 and $510 and whatever it was, and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And beloved, would any of these things shake us and move us? No. No. We just was sweet as we could be. We understand what's going on. We understand exactly what's taking place. And here at this particular point, I want to say my wife sat alongside of me and she was working and she was having more trouble with me than she was with the harassers. Her troubles were all with me because we had the same mic and we're sitting right alongside and I'd talk and then she couldn't talk and back and forth and she'd look at me and she's having more trouble with me than she was with these harassers. But I'd look at her and they'd say these things and she'd react and then she'd smile. And I say to you, what in the name of creation have they got against my wife? What in the world has she ever done to any of them? What in the world is my wife? What has she done that she deserves to go through this kind of an ordeal? Would you kindly tell me? She's never harmed anybody. No man ever had a better wife than I've had. She's been to me everything that a wife could be in the ministry of the gospel. And I thank God for her and what she's done. And the most wonderful thing about it is that she keeps me straight. That's right. She's just as straight as she can be on these issues. She's just as clear as she can be. And when God gives a man a wife like that and a companion whose mind is sharp and clear and you can discuss all these things together in utter confidence, it's a marvelous thing. But what in the name of heaven has she ever done that she deserves to be treated in a public scandal like this? Would you kindly tell me? I'll tell you what. You know what it is she's done? Do you know what they got against her? She's a Christian. She's identified with the cause of Christ. That's all. It's all in the world. And what they've done to her, they'll do to you. And what they've done to me, they'll do to you. Simply because you are a Christian. And in this marvelous passage which our Lord Jesus Christ gives us here in this 15th chapter of John, as he discusses these things with his disciples, he says, don't you be surprised and don't you marvel if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. And oh, beloved, will you take that little company of the 12 disciples and see what happened to them? They went out to preach. And what happened to them? John is on the Isle of Patmos. James was beheaded. What happened to the rest of us? Thomas was martyred there in India. Just look at the rest of them. Right on down the road, look at them. And then look at this man, Paul, who was converted in a flash on the road to Damascus when the living Christ appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul changed around, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I will show thee how great things thou shalt suffer for my name's sake." It's because you're identified with me, Paul. It's because you've taken my name, Paul. You have the troubles, and look at his life, his ministry, his first missionary journey, his second missionary journey, his third missionary journey, his imprisonments, his... He was beaten with rods and all the stripes that fell upon him, the stonings that he had, his shipwreck journey to Rome, and the last 9 years of his life, he was in the bonds of the Roman emperor. Think of a man living and suffering like that. And then you take a passage like this, and you read it, and here we are in a land of comfort, a land of ease, a land of plenty, a land of liberty, because men went before us who believed in liberty, and they fought and died that we might have it. And now we're fighting to keep a radio station so we can be free to speak. Oh, you Christian people tonight, we need a revival. We need the power of God. And what can we do to shake these cocktail-drinking Christians that are in these apostate churches? What can we do to take these Christians who are nominally servants of Jesus Christ, but you can't distinguish them from the world? What can we do to speak to the people of God in these last days who are marching down that inevitable path that leads to the tomb and to the grave? And there's only one hope in that darkness, and that's the light that Christ put in that tomb when he rose out of that grave as our victor and our redeemer. Behind this hatred is the hatred of the Christian, because he stands for regeneration. Now, in the third place, I want you to turn with me. Of course, it's all here in this 15th chapter. In the third place, the real hatred, and where the hatred begins and where all the trouble starts, is with Jesus Christ. The cross. The offense of that cross. What it does to the pride of man. What it does to the good works of man. What it does to all the genius of man. The awful offense of that cross. And the blood which was shed there to make an atonement for sin. That's where the hatred is. It's the hatred of the blood. It's the hatred of the cross. It's the hatred of the gospel. It is the hatred of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what I felt. That's what I saw. That's what I'll run into again tomorrow afternoon. That's behind all of this. And I want the Christian public once and for all to see that these accusations of hatred against the believer who loves God is a strategy. It's a weapon of those who are saying, "Hate the haters." But we saw coming out into the open in the Philadelphia area on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we saw a manifestation of genuine, real hatred, which is grounded in a rejection of Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. That was it. I wonder how many of you Christians could take it. I wonder how many of you would take it. Oh, beloved, no matter what they do, we're going to stay right there on that microphone by the help of God and raise this $50,000 by the help and the mercy of God. And the Bible says you resist the devil and he can flee from you. Next Sunday night I'd like to preach. However, there may be a lot of things happen this week that'll determine my sermon next Sunday night. But I'm thinking about preaching next Sunday night on how the old devil works to keep revival away from the people of God. I'd like to give you a sermon on that next Sunday night. How Satan hates the Word. How Satan inspires those who are in his kingdom and under his power. And how they manifest this hatred. But beloved, there must be some terrible, terrible hatred for them to come out in the open. Let it be a spectacle to thousands and thousands of Christians in all these churches in this particular area. There must be some special reason. And the reason is that WXUR is permitting the preaching of the blood of Jesus Christ, and they want less of it in this country. WXUR has broadcast that calls for prayer and Bible reading back in school. And that's one of the major planks that the devil has to keep out of the life of America. WXUR is permitting on paid time the expressions of views and opinions that relate to the struggle for freedom. These things must be pushed down and down and down and put into an underground operation. And we're moving now, every last one of us, in this great struggle to preserve that freedom so that we can, in our immediate area, be responsible by the help of God for handing freedom on down to our grandchildren so their preachers can stand in pulpits like this and preach on WXUR and other stations that God may be pleased to give to his people. Folks, you're pretty close to the underground. You're pretty close to the dungeons. You're pretty close to the persecution that Christians have endured through the centuries. And here it is, right at your front door, right in your face, being vented against me and my wife and Dr. Richter and our radio station. We feel it, we see it. And what's your answer? To flee? To retreat? To surrender? No, the answer is to expose it. Turn on the lights. Give us more light. Give us men who will open these issues up and let everybody see exactly what's taking place in our immediate area. Look at the problems we have with our newspapers. Camden Courier, Philadelphia Inquirer. The Philadelphia Inquirer wouldn't even carry our ad for this revival meeting on their religious page because they said it would be political for us to make reference to Resolution 160. Ridiculous, absurd, but somebody's in there just using that as an excuse to keep our ad from getting to the religious constituency of the Philadelphia area. But the religious constituency of the Philadelphia area ought to be able to hear and have all the information concerning any meeting or any movement or any development that's available. We should be able to have that kind of information if we're going to be a free people. And it's with these forces of suppression. It's these forces of misrepresentation. It's these forces that are hand in glove with these powers of darkness that only the gospel of Jesus Christ can deal with. And it can be dealt with. Oh, beloved, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to sift the men from the weaklings in this struggle. It's going to sift them. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be a tremendous sift. There are three great reasons behind this hatred. The suppression of light, the rejection and smearing of the Christian, and finally, the attack upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Savior. All right, now let me give you three other things before I close the message. I want you to have them, because they'll mean a great deal to you, and I'm sure they do to us tonight. And you young people, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 to 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, and here's the great spokesman for the 12, Peter. And he says here, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." We haven't had that yet, you see. "As though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding great joy." With exceeding joy. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ," what is it? "Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." Beloved, when Ms. McIntyre and Amen Char and I sit down there at that microphone and engage in this terrific struggle, we are glorifying God in dealing with these forces of wickedness in this direct and this frontal exposure. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer." We're not breaking the law in order to advance our cause. or as a busybody in other men's matters? Yes, if you suffer because of these things, you deserve to suffer. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, because you're identified with Christ, let him not be ashamed. And don't you people be ashamed of your pastor for what he's doing in this great struggle in our immediate area. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, one of the things that I love about the Apostle Paul is that he said, he was not ashamed of my chain. He carried around a ball and chain all his life, the last 9 years, and they said, oh my, if Paul had any sense, he could have gotten rid of that thing. They were ashamed of his chain. And this passage comes right down the road here, and it says so beautifully, let none of you suffer as a Christian, but if as an evildoer, but if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. And I tell you people, I'm not ashamed. I thank God that he's permitted me to live in this area this long where our name is known far and wide. And now we can come to grips with these forces in an open display so that men can see that the only hope of this world is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. Beloved, this is what revivals are made of. This is the substance of real changing in the minds and the thinking of people. This is what it's made of. All right, turn to that great passage in Matthew 5, Matthew 5:11. I'll give you this, and then one other verse, and we'll close. But oh, how rich the word is, and how precious it is when you see things like this coming from the lips of Jesus Christ, who is alive. In the 11th verse, he says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. You may think we're in trouble. No, folks, we're in a place of blessing. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Revilings and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Let's have a revival meeting. Let's sing. Let's rejoice. Let's come together. Let's get all the people of God here night after night and let's sing and let's rejoice and then ask the Spirit of God to take the word which we preach and pierce the hearts of men and cleanse these hearts and bring regeneration and life to men who are in the hardness of their hearts and in their unbelief. God can do it. Now I have one other passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. We begin with verse, this great passage here where the apostle has been speaking of the end time and the last days. In this second chapter he says, or the third chapter it is, chapter 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Oh, will you pray that the word may have free course? Now, I tell you people something, and I've stood in this pulpit, I've preached tonight. And I don't know what your reaction to this is tonight, but I want to tell you something. I preach the Word of God to you people tonight. And furthermore, I want to tell you something else. I've preached it in all liberty. I've had no restraints. I've had no powers dictating to me or telling me what to say. I have stood here in the exercise of a right which the Constitution of the United States gives me, freedom of speech. And the free exercise of religion. When I stand in this pulpit, beloved, I stand on the Constitution and I preach the Bible. That's what we have. It's this land of liberty, our Constitution, our marvelous form of government under which we live, which enables you to be free, and we can have free pulpits, and men can arise. And Paul says, oh, pray, 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 that the word of God may have free course and be multiplied among you people. And I want you to believe God. I want you to believe the Word. I want you to believe Jesus Christ. I want you to know that you are born again and that you're going home to be with Christ for all eternity. Suffer for Him. Live for Him. Sacrifice for Him. Give Him everything you have in the few days that you have to breathe the air that we possess. Now look at the next verse. And that we may be delivered from what? Delivered from what? Unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Oh, the struggles here. And he sees it. Here's the hatred of light. Here's the hatred of the Christian. Here's the hatred of Christ. Here are the promises of Christ to us that He will take care of us and the Spirit of glory will be upon us and we'll have our hands upon the Word of life with its power and its message of hope. But He says, pray for us, brethren. Pray for us, brethren. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Because all men have not faith. And when you're engaged in these great conflicts with the powers of darkness and the forces of suppression, when you're engaged with these great forces in these last days, with the communists spreading their venom all over the world and their conspiracy, and with these blind forces operating here, and with these forces departing from the Word of God, when you are dealing with this, you must have the prayers of these saints and the prayers of God's people. And oh, beloved, this ought to bring us together. It ought to bring us closer together. It ought to bring a tenderness about our relationships with one another and a determination among every one of us that we're going to be steadfast and true and we're not going to permit anything to happen that in any way will harm or injure the testimony which God's given us and that He will strengthen us in our devotion to Jesus Christ. Brethren, pray for us that we may be delivered. And tomorrow we're going to that radio station again. We're going to sit there. We're going to talk. And by the help of God, the funds are going to come in as the people call up everywhere. And how long it's going to take us to go over $50,000, God Almighty only knows. But I know that with the prayers and the backings of God's people, this mighty opposition that's manifesting itself in the Philadelphia area can be openly exposed and thousands of people can turn to God and to righteousness and we can see a mighty, mighty spirit of revival in this area. And may God grant it in our hearts and in our churches. Let us pray. Oh God, bless the people tonight, and we thank Thee that when anything happens, we always find something in the Bible that fits it. Oh, we thank Thee for the Word of God. So pure, so eternal. God, give us the $50,000 for Faith Seminary's mortgage payments on the radio station so the station cannot be silenced. And then, Lord God of heaven and earth, take care of us. Oh, take care of us. As these forces seek to have the FCC destroy this station and take it away from Faith Seminary, Lord, undertake for us. We don't know what's ahead, Lord, but Thou knowest all things, and we are Thine, and so we trust in the Lord. And now tonight, speak to the hearts of those who are here. Give faith. For Christ's sake, amen.